a minister was in Italy, and he came to the grave of an atheist, and it had been there for centuries. This individual was completely against Christianity, but he had a fear that he might rise from the dead. So he took a slab that was thick and long, and he had him put it over his grave so that there would be no possibility of him rising at all.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We would like to thank you for joining us today for the first half of When Will You Believe the Scriptures About the Power of Christ's Resurrection. We've been offering a booklet on the Antichrist. We're living in times when people have many ideas. There are many speculations about who the Antichrist is. And in this booklet, we answer some of those questions. And we answer that ever popular notion about what does 666 mean and what about the mark of the beast. So if you want to find out these details about the Antichrist, contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus Ministries, and we will get a copy of that to you. So let's join the program, the radio broadcast, and the title of this message is When Will You Believe the Scriptures About the Power of Christ's Resurrection?
And today we'll be in John chapter 2. John chapter 2, and our objective is to go through the whole book of John. Now, we might not hit it every week. You know, we may break for certain things, but our objective is to go through this whole book, because what we've been looking at, if you go back to that first slide, what we've been looking at in the Gospel of John is close encounters with God. That as we go through this gospel, we see people over and over again coming into contact with Jesus. And John established in the very first chapter that Jesus is God. So what we are looking at as we read through and as we preach through the Gospel of John, we are looking at people who have had an encounter with God. So my question this morning, as we go through the message and prepare our hearts to go through the message, you know, have you had an encounter with God? Yeah, you might be saved and living a nominal life, but have you had an encounter with the living God of the universe? We see that the purpose of the Gospel of John, John wrote his gospel for one reason and one reason only. As we read other books in the Bible, we are kind of left to figure out, well, why did they write that book? But John tells us specifically why he wrote the gospel. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's why John wrote. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing, you might have life through his name. In John chapter 2, beginning in verse 18, it says, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou raise it up in 3 days? But he spoke of the temple of his body. When therefore He was risen from the dead. His disciples remembered that he said unto them this scripture, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had preached unto them. As we come to the message this morning, when will you believe the scriptures about the power of the resurrection? When will you believe the scriptures about the power of the resurrection? Look what it said in verse 22, that his disciples, the individuals that walk with him, when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this unto them. Then they believed the scripture. So up until this point, they really didn't understand what Jesus said when he made the comment, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And I want to propose to us this morning, I'm going to be coming out of this passage, but I'm going to be looking at some other verses. When are you going to believe the scripture? When are you going to believe the scripture? Turn to Ephesians, and I'm going to pray here in a second. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And it says in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. When are you going to believe the scripture? When are you going to believe the scripture? That the same power that rose Jesus from the dead, Paul says, is in you. When are you going to believe the scripture? The disciples walk with Jesus. They talk with Jesus. They knew what he did. They saw what he did. And yet and still, the Old Testament talked about a Messiah who would come and who would raise from the dead. But they didn't believe the scripture. When Jesus told them in John chapter 2 that I'm going to die and rise from the dead, they didn't believe it. When are you going to believe? When are you going to believe? A minister was in Italy, and he came to the grave of an atheist, and it had been there for centuries. This individual was completely against Christianity, but he had a fear that he might rise from the dead. So he took a slab that was thick and long, and he had him put it over his grave so that there would be no possibility of him rising at all. The minister observed that it had been a couple of hundred years, and this slab was over there, and that this belief that he had was put on a tomb, and it was put over his grave, that he didn't believe in the resurrection, and that he didn't want to rise from the dead. Well, the minister reported that what happened was a tree had come up out of his grave, had busted the slab in two, and had become a tall oak tree. And so it is surmised that in the grave there was the seed or the germination of a tree that fell in the grave, and over the years it grew and it broke that slab in half. And I was thinking, if a tree has that much power that it could break a stone slab in two, how much power do we have as the children of God that we have this resurrected power that Paul talked about, that we can break any stronghold, we can break any chain in our lives? You know, sometimes we read stuff like this. I mean, we read stuff like this, and it doesn't connect with our heart. It doesn't click with our mind. When it says that the same power that brought Jesus up is in us. And we look at that, and it seems like it's, you know, I often think, and I've told this illustration before, right, that sometimes I'll be sitting in my family room, and I'll be watching television, and I'll want to change to another channel, and I'll look, and the remote, man, it's like across the room. And I say, man, that remote is way over there. It's way over there. Right? You know when you get comfortable? You know, it's way over there. And I wonder if sometimes we don't take that same attitude when we read passages like that and say, man, you know, that's just way over there. Right? I mean, I could never avail myself of that. I could never tap into something like that. But Jesus or John wrote that the disciples remembered what Jesus said, and then they believed the scripture about his resurrection. Is that going to be your testimony? That when you get to heaven and God has revealed to you, you know, all the things that you could have had you tapped into the power of the resurrection, and then you get to heaven and your testimony is, then I believe the scripture. Then I believe the scripture. We can allow God's resurrection power to be in our lives right now. I was reading about John D. Rockefeller, who was the world's first billionaire. And it was said that he was so worried about his wealth that, you know, he lived on crackers. He had all kind of stomach problems, and he had all these physical issues despite that he was a billionaire. And then he came to the realization of giving money away to others. And as he began to give away to others, his health improved. And when we think about our lives, and we live these weak, anemic, sad Christian lives, and we are sitting on $1 billion worth of power, an unlimited amount of power, and we miss what God has for us. We are involved in ministries where we run in our own energy and our own flesh. We live in families where we're trying to do things our way, void of the power that God has made available to us. We are ignorant of the power. Or, more sadly, we search after a false power, right? We search after a false power. There was a family, neighbors had been feuding, and they were at odds, and the tension was thick. And one of the families decided to go on vacation because they needed to ease some of the tension between the neighbors. So hopefully you don't have neighbors like that. And while they were gone, the other neighbors were standing out on their porch one day, and they saw their dog. And their dog had the neighbor's family rabbit in his mouth. And he was shaking it, and they came, and the rabbit was dead. And they thought to themselves, wow, you know, with all the things that have been going on between us, that's all we need is for, you know, our dog to kill their rabbit. And so they tried to fix it up to make it seem like the rabbit died. So they cleaned the rabbit. They washed them. They bathed the rabbit, and they used a hair dryer. No, just kidding. To clean the rabbit up, combed him out, and they put the rabbit in the cage. And so when the family came back, they were out on the porch, and the family that was on vacation came back, and the wife started screaming. And the neighbors across the street kind of had an idea what they were screaming about. So they came over and said, what happened? What's the matter? What's wrong? Did your rabbit die? And the neighbors said, yeah, the rabbit died before we went on vacation. And we put we buried the rabbit in the yard, and now he's back again. That's a false resurrection. That's fake power. That's the kind of power that the devil gives. Jesus gives true resurrection power that's able to not only give us eternal life, but give us an abundant earthly life. Let's turn back to the Gospel of John, and I'm going to go through this pretty quick. The first thing we see is that the Jews challenge Jesus' authority. So if you'll move on to that next slide. The Jews challenge Jesus' authority. Now, you remember that Jesus, the last time I preached out of John, which is back in July, Jesus had cleansed the temple. Remember, he went in there and he began to turn over the tables with the money changers. He began, the Bible says, to drive out the animals, and he even drove out the people. He cleansed the temple. So after cleansing the temple, we see that the Jews challenged his authority. Notice in verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what signs showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? You know, what things are you talking about? The cleansing of the temple. What gave you the right? Who gave you the permission to come in here and cleanse this temple? It's basically what they were asking Jesus. And then not only that, but notice what they said. They said, what sign? Give us a sign. That word sign, the Greek word there means miracle. Show us a miracle. Do something miraculous. If you with your bad self took the nerve to come in here and cleanse the temple, you better be somebody. Show us a sign that you have the authority to come in and do this. And Jesus says to them in verse 19, notice, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And so Jesus looks at the temple, and he takes that as an opportunity to talk about his resurrection. He says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now, I have to say that I probably would have been like the rest of the crowd and like the disciples. Now, I don't know. Maybe you have a little bit more spiritual insight than me and a little bit more in depth, but I would have probably thought that he was talking about the temple, all right? And so the Jewish leaders, by their response, that's what they thought. They thought he was talking about the temple. But yet and still, they missed the sign of his authority. If you could go ahead to that next slide. The Jews missed the sign of his authority. Look what they said in verse 20. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou raise it up in 3 days? And so let me give you a real quick Old Testament history lesson. God called the Israelites out of Egypt. He said, I want you to come and build me a tabernacle so that you can worship me. And so they built this tabernacle that traveled with them through the 40 years in the wilderness. They came into the promised land, and Solomon built the temple, the house of God. As they estimated, $691 million that this edifice that Solomon built with all the gold and the ivory and everything that was in it. And then in 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians came in, they destroyed the city of Jerusalem, and they burned down this beautiful edifice that Solomon had erected. They tore it down. And then they took a lot of the Jews off into captivity. As they began to return, one of the first things that they did was start rebuilding the temple, the place of worship. And so they had been building it for several years, and then Herod comes along, and he's appointed king, and Herod takes on the project of refurbishing that second temple. And so at that time, it had been 46 years that Herod was refurbishing the temple. 46 years. And so the Jews, they say to Jesus, well, we've been refurbishing the temple. And even, when they finally finished the temple was in 64 AD. And anybody remember what happened in 70 AD? The Romans came in and did what? And destroyed it, right? So they only enjoyed about 6 years of having the temple completely done. But at the time Jesus came, they had already been working on it for 46 years. And you know, it's interesting that I think what Jesus was trying to say when he said, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. He was trying to say, well, watch this now, don't miss this. They missed it on that day. We can miss it today, but don't miss this. I believe what Jesus was saying, that we don't need the temple anymore. Because I am the temple. I am the temple. And so they missed it. They missed the fact that Jesus was referring to his body as the temple. Notice what it says in verse 21. But he spoke of the temple of his body. And then we come to our text that we read in the introduction today, and that is this. Wherefore, when he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Let's ruminate on that for a little bit. Again, they missed it. They missed it. And I'm proposing today that we miss this passage in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's turn back there. We miss the true essence of this passage in Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul writes, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. It says that this same power works in us. And so I want to share with you a couple of things and pray that we don't miss. The first thing, as we talk about this resurrection power, that it is an enabling power. It is an enabling power. Notice what he says here. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? First word for power, right? Greek word, dunamis. I know somebody help me out here. Somebody help me out here. What English word do we get from that? Dynamite! Oh man, we got some Greek scholars out there, right?
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in the next time for the conclusion of When Will You Believe the Scriptures About the Power of Christ's Resurrection. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, When Will You Believe the Scriptures About the Power of Christ's Resurrection, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request When Will You Believe the Scriptures About the Power of Christ's Resurrection. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request When Will You Believe the Scriptures About the Power of Christ's Resurrection. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. We also would like to invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It is through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I'd like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.